Now for the Cape Report, the first edition of the report for the month of Ramadan. Tasneem Adam from the Voice of the Cape joins us on the line. Tasneem, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, Mufti, and to your listeners, and Ramadan Kareem again.
Ramadan Kareem to yourself and all those at the Voice of the Cape. How has Ramadan gotten off to a good start in the Western Cape? What's the atmosphere like as we move into the second day of Ramadan?
Alhamdulillah, everything's great this side. I must say that we are definitely in the swing of things in terms of the second day, in terms of what we're doing on air and behind the scenes. And I think from a fasting point of view, things have been relatively easy. The day is short, alhamdulillah. But for a lot of people, definitely a rush because of the fact that Maghrib is a lot shorter. And I thought it's perhaps worth mentioning that the Muslim Judicial Council yesterday, urged our ulama to actually extend Taraweeh Salah because of the fact that, you know, most people are still on the road around Maghrib time, you know, just urging our ulama and imams to perhaps extend or delay Taraweeh prayer because of the fact that people are still on their way home at that time of the evening.
Perhaps just to give us perspective, what time is iftar?
At the moment, iftar is about 5:45, Maghrib Adhan about 5:44. And, you know, obviously a lot of people at that time, yeah, traffic in Cape Town is an absolute nightmare these days. We're probably the most congested traffic city in South Africa at the moment. So at that time, definitely it's peak, and of course you have a lot of people traveling on public transport here in Cape Town. So, yeah, definitely a problem for a lot of commuters coming from the city and going home to the Cape Flats.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for one and all. The first halal lab in Africa, tell us more about that. Has there been developments on that front?
Yes, Mufti, last week, I think, I'm not sure if your listeners know that about a year ago, plans for the halal lab were, you know, in the pipeline. Now it's finally come to fruition, and the official launch of this lab was last week. It's called the Center for Proteomic and Genomic Research, and the actual lab is called Tawkeed Biotech, and it's a project of a CPGR here in Cape Town. And Tawkeed basically means assurance, and the aim of this lab is now obviously to identify contents that is contained within the food that we consume. And it's basically the project is meant to take the local halal industry to new heights. So last week we had the launch, and was attended by many members of the ulama, people in the science industry, members of the legal and business fraternity here in Cape Town, just people that have a keen interest in this particular issue. And you know, basically, members of the public and halal bodies and independent people will have convenient access to high-end discovery and targeted molecular technologies that is meant to provide comfort for consumers in their food that they consume. You know, we've had many cases here in the Cape where there's been, confusion around some contents in food. There's been major errors in terms of halal certification as well and labeling. So this center or this research unit is meant to provide that sense of assurance to the Muslim consumer. Behind the project is our very own Kamal Salasa, who presents VOC's breakfast show. He is one of the founding members, as well as chairman of the board, Dr. Anwar Nagia, who many will know is very involved in the Palestinian issues. He is on the board of trust of Tawkeed Biotech. And this for them is a sustainable project, he says will have 80% probability of success at the launch last week. So he was saying, look, it's not a business angle, it's a sustainable angle, and basically they wanting to provide communities with unlimited benefits in terms of how it helps the Ummah. Speaking at the launch last week, we had Sheikh Ahmed Siddiq of the Muslim Judicial Council's Halal Trust and Sheikh Nafir Najjar of the Islamic Council of South Africa. They're saying, you know, this kind of lab is very long overdue. It's important for the development of the halal industry, obviously providing assurance for consumers when purchasing halal products. And obviously we've had a lot of other people commenting, Judge Siraj Desai, people like Ihsan Higgins, an attorney here in Cape Town, says it's probably the most significant contributions of Muslims in South Africa. You know, we've 100 years ago, Judge Siddharth Desai was saying there was a court dispute, and the judge asked why the affairs of Muslims are not dealt with by more intelligent men. And he's saying, look, now 100 years later, Muslims are conducting themselves with cutting-edge science and technology, and it's an advance that a lot of people did not expect. So I think from that point of view, people saying that it's the laboratory is going to greatly assist or improve South Africa's ability to engage in science and technology internationally. So definitely from that point, this move is very significant.
Then we have the Ultima Party launch. Now, we all know that they had a dismal performance in the last election. So what was different this time around?
Well, I'm not sure if there is anything different. They're saying that since they were established more than 10 decades ago, they now have 30 candidates contesting polls in the Western Cape. The number of candidates was considerably less in the 2011 local government elections. I think they had about 5 people contesting as candidates. Currently, they've got 1 councillor in Johannesburg and 1 in Cape Town, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, so the party leader, Hanif Hendricks, was saying they registered candidates in over 300 wards throughout the country, including all the 106 wards in Cape Town, and they're hoping to win 10 ward seats. But again, obviously imploring our community because they need the Muslim vote to achieve that. The party says it's also garnered a lot of support from members of other faith groups. He says, you look, people are disillusioned with other parties at the moment, and they feel that Al-Jamal, because of its Islamic ethos, is a platform which speaks to their needs as a voter. And he says that Al-Jamal supporters have shown interest in their manifesto because it speaks to the needs of the local community. Interesting, though, that he mentioned the party has now employed a new mechanism in which they have political science and public policy graduates actually standing in, as candidates this time around. And these graduates have ascertained that wards within the city of Cape Town have not been allocated a budget, which he says is obviously necessary from an operational point of view. So in response to these findings, the party now intends to develop a budget for each specific ward. Some of the candidates standing for mayor of Cape Town include activist Fayrouz Nagia Ludi, who is contesting here in Kensington, Maitland and Factorton, and political science major Nurjan Ali and attorney Zayed Parker, who he Hendricks says they hope will secure the Indian vote here in the city. He says that while they are fighting to secure the position of mayor, he says that the candidates are also very intently focusing on winning their respective wards. That was about it. We hopefully, obviously, will engage more on the manifesto closer to the election, but that's just what he gave us from the 10 minutes that we interviewed him on air yesterday.
Muslims hard hit by food prices.
Yes, absolutely. I don't think the situation is unique in Cape Town, but definitely from the people that we've interviewed recently, things are definitely tough for Muslim consumers this Ramadan. All those extra treats that you enjoy at the iftar table, a lot of people feel that they're going to have to forego that because of the exorbitant price of food here in the Western Cape. We know obviously higher petrol prices and the ripple effects of the ongoing drought have resulted in these sharp increases in food costs. Yeah, particularly in the Western Cape. I don't know how it is in Gauteng, but the prices of fruit and vegetables are extremely high. So, you know, things like your fruit at the suhoor table and perhaps a bowl or a pot of soup every evening might be a bit more difficult for the impoverished Muslim here in the Western Cape, people who are perhaps, you know, not as fortunate to be eating as lavishingly as other people would be able to. So definitely people saying, yeah, it's harder this Ramadan because of the sharp increase that we've seen in the price of food and especially fruit and vegetables lately. People are saying, you know, it means they've had to cut down, they've had to rework their budgets, tougher budget cuts are necessary. I think Stats SA was saying that there's been around a 5% increase in the cost of a food basket since last year, 2015. I know they have obviously, they measure a certain amount of food in a food basket. And a lot of people that we've spoken to recently, especially people that are in the food industry, say that they are seeing that the healthy things are a lot more expensive, and things like unhealthy things like, say, chips and sweets are still very affordable at the moment, and it's making people eat very unhealthily these days, because your processed foods are a lot more affordable than your more healthier and organic items. So that's become an issue. Excuse me. So yeah, that's about what we uncovered, speaking to people on the streets. And the RSA Group, which is one of the largest fish produce traders in South Africa, they were saying that there's been about a 30% increase in the price of fruit and vegetables since the drought. And obviously, we know farmers here in the Western Cape haven't been able to produce good quality fruit and vegetables, so supply is limited. So that's also another issue that people have picked up. And they're saying, look, the fish produce industry will be affected for the next few months at least, because the shortages are obviously affecting high prices. So definitely not looking good for consumers at the moment.
Yes, a bleak picture on that front. We appreciate your time. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.